Morning, everyone. I'd like to convene the February 23rd, 2016 meeting of the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. Good morning to everyone. We have one memorial and one Senate bill this morning. Aquatic invasive species and the Tillamook Wetlands Pilot Project, respectively. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on SJM 201. And Mr. Roper, if you could tell us briefly, please, what this memorial is about.
Sure, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Joint Memorial 201 urges Congress to ensure the continued appropriation of funds for aquatic invasive species prevention efforts and to implement the intent of the Water Resources Reform and Development Act. We also have a -1 amendment, which removes the language requesting Congress to implement the act, and it retains the language requesting the appropriation of funds for aquatic invasive species.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to call forward, please, Representative Boone, Senator Roblin. And is Tom Wolf in the room? There he is. Come on up.
We've heard that about you, Representative.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our committee. Please decide among yourselves.
Thank you, Chair Witt and the committee. For the record, my name is Arne Roblin, Senate District 5 Senator. This has been a big issue, quagga and zebra mussels, for me for a long time, and partly because I'm Vice President of the PENWAR Group, Pacific Northwest Economic Region, and we are the only region in the North America that does not have quagga or zebra mussels. Every place else, they have now invested in themselves. California was always our backdrop, because if they weren't in California, they got to get here there, through there before they get here. Well, they got there a few years ago. We've been fighting the introduction of these since 1980, and they've taken over the Great Lakes. They're moving down the Mississippi, and now they're slowly moving up the Missouri. So we're concerned about Montana at some point, but they go very slowly upriver because they spread. Each one of the little females that are there produce about 1 million eggs a year, and from the environment in which they originated, they died fairly quickly because they couldn't form their shells, low calcium in their water. And so they developed this amazing production part. When they came into the Great Lakes, all of a sudden, more calcium, they exploded. And so they have never been eradicated from a free-moving stream or waterway that they get involved with, because you got to keep them in one place, and they were producing so much you don't. They thought they had stopped them in Lake Manitoba. They did this big potash treatment. It worked in the one area that it was, but they had found out later the next year that it had already escaped that area, and so they are now in a problem there. Minnesota, when I talked to them, they said that we used to be the land of 10,000 lakes. So we're losing one at a time. So it is a really difficult thing. The best thing to do is keep them out. As you know, we passed a law that gave us some money to start putting stations and cleaning stations in. We've been doing a good job. Idaho began that even before. Montana's working on it. This last summer at a conference we had for PENWAR, we got to see a new group of dogs that have been trained to sniff quagga and zebra mussels in eastern Montana. They were 100% effective at a check stop that they did up in Canada. What they did for us for a demonstration is hide one quagga mussel in this boat, and then they let the dog loose, and he went around and all of a sudden stopped and just pointed at the little place, and they found the quagga mussel. So we're looking at ways in which we can actually extend. We don't do any nighttime checks right now because we haven't been very effective at that. And so the goal here is to try to get the federal government invested in keeping them out of here. In the last WERDA bill, Water Resources Bill, we actually got an appropriation of $20 million over the next number of years. $4 million this year has been given to the Corps to start helping keep the Columbia River Basin clean. Our goal is to get that in the next WERDA bill. That's what this is about, so that pretty soon the Congress recognizes that we're just always going to do this. We have spent over $5 billion trying to deal with them in the rest of the country since their introduction in the 1980s. And we need to keep them out. We need to make sure that this area continues to be pristine. They will love our water. very high calcium. They will love irrigation ditches and irrigation, you know, they will love our dams, and the kind of cleaning out all of the intakes on a constant basis is exceedingly expensive, and we have not figured out any way to get rid of them. So I urge your support. There is an amendment. The amendment, when we were in the Senate, what we want to do is make sure the appropriation is getting. The way it was written, it kind of indicates that we are supporting the Werda bill. There are many of us who do support the Werda bill, but there are a lot of other people who said, I'm not going to read the 100-and-some pages of that bill, and so I don't want to acknowledge that we're the whole thing. We're just acknowledging that we want the money. So that was the reason for that slight change, and I agreed with the people over there, said I would bring that forth here and have a conversation about it, and ready to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Representative Boone, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, for the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32, beautiful upper left coast. And I'm here in support of this bill also. I, too, have worked for many years within PennWare on this issue. And my first comment to them was, well, why don't they make the feds clean up Lake Mead? And that would be a lot easier. And that would be great, but it isn't happening. It hasn't happened. So this is, and when we started seeing things like this demonstration piece of pipe, we also saw a boot that was covered with them. And another group I serve on, the Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force, took this issue up as their one and only bill 1 year and made a little bit of headway in the federal campaign, but it's just out of control. And if you look at that, you think, well, that's not too bad. But if you think of that in getting into an irrigation system, a dam system, et cetera, and once they start reproducing, you can't get rid of them, and you literally would have to chip them off of everything. So it's incumbent on us to do a a big preventive move like this and have Congress shake them up, and so that we could get the funding, and we support that. And we could talk for a long time on this. I even saw this as a way to sabotage the electrical system. It was in a movie. And what they did was they poured it. They had a little handful of these little guys, and they poured them into one of the intake for the water in the dam, and everybody just totally freaked out. And so it's kind of it's known. People know about it. We just need to do this now. So I hope you can help us by supporting this bill, this memorial.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Tom.
Morning. Chair Witt, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the executive director of the Oregon Council of Tribal Limited. I'm here on behalf of my organization to enthusiastically support SJM 201. One of the biggest issues we face in this country after habitat loss is invasive species. They are causing tremendous damage to streams and habitat of wild trout and salmon across this nation. Quagga mussels or New Zealand mud snails or zebra mussels get into a stream, they will literally coat the stream with their numbers of millions and millions and millions and crowd out the mackerel and burbot and literally starve trout and salmon to death. It's a major problem, and one of the great the things that I'm most proud of in this building in 2009, Trout Unlimited helped pass a bill that would create the ODFW boat check stations, because as Senator Roblin stated, the best way to deal with these is to keep them out. So now we have those, and we believe that the federal government should, through this program, give us money to help with keeping them out of the Columbia River Basin. This is a great memorial bill. This is a great concept because, as I say, once they're in, you really can't get rid of them. So let's get more money to prevent them from getting into our wonderful waters of the Northwest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Committee members, questions or comments for our panel? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just one question. How long does a boat have to be in Lake Mead before these things connect?
I don't know that we know exactly the problem that we are running into. And this $4 million doubles the amount that the region is now putting in check stations and stuff. So it really is a helpful deal. We have multiple problems. One is that we have wakeboard boats that go to Lake Mead, skiing and all those kinds of stuff. They have a ballast tank.
Yeah.
They can't completely empty those ballast tanks most of the time. So once they suck in some water that has some of the larvae in it, that could be a year. We don't know how long they could last in there with water and so on. So that's one group. That was 15 months in Lake Mead. You have to be there at the time that they're sending their larvae out, and then they attach. So there are certain times we don't know. I don't know the history about when that would be, so that they wouldn't be transmitted. But it only takes ballast in regular boats. It doesn't take much to get them transported to another place. That's say 15 months. It's pretty overwhelming. One season, 1 year, if you have it down there to do some stuff, or you're at the wrong time, can be a problem. So I can't tell you the scientific answer to exactly how long it takes for them to get embedded on a boat or another surface. We know that we have found being transported here houseboats that have been in the lake for a long time that were encrusted. Before we got our check stations, we actually noticed a couple of them, and we encouraged them to go on to Washington where they did have check stations, and told the police ahead of time, you might stop this boat because it looks pretty bad. So it's that kind of stuff. And we thought we were getting mostly from Lake Mead, but the new studies have shown that they're also coming from the Great Lakes because they come across the top of the country to come to Montana and other places to fish and hunt. And that's why we've got those check stations on that side too. So I couldn't tell you exactly how long, but it doesn't take much.
And thanks, Rep. Bretto. One thing that we heard that I thought was pretty disturbing is that these things can live on a boat for days. And I don't know how many. I've heard anywhere from 15 to 30 days, so as long as it takes you out of water even. So if they're in, the answer I can't give you is how long the boat has to be. Like if they go skiing one day or they boat one day. I don't know, but I know that it's possible if they're nearby and a larva touches on them and they attach, and that's how it's pretty amazing.
Representative McEwen.
Thank you, Chair Witt. I just wanted to follow up on what my good colleagues have very articulately spoken about. This is an issue that is incredibly, incredibly scary for the state of Oregon. And the resources that we are putting into this effort to not only keep them out, to protect Oregon, but to protect the entire Northwest, is just not adequate. And we're trying, we're doing better. We do have check stations now, but they're only open for limited duration during certain seasons when we have a great deal of traffic coming through. They're not open 24/7. We don't have check stations at every entrance into the state, and we're not doing a very good job. And the fact that we're not doing a very good job puts us at tremendous risk, and we do need to do better, or we're going to be in a world of hurt. One thing, and Representative Boone and Senator Roblin, you may remember the number. I'm trying to recall it, and I don't. But the potential cost of eradicating these, if they get into the Columbia River and we have problems with our dams and we get these little critters in our irrigation systems, the ongoing maintenance was in the hundreds of millions.
$500 million a year
to keep our waterways operating. And that doesn't even talk about the impact on our fisheries. So I just can't emphasize enough what a huge threat this is to the Northwest. Other states are doing their part. It's a collaborative effort through PennWar. Everybody's pulling on this oar, and this is just one piece one cog in a very big wheel of to how we need to continue to protect ourselves and our waterways. So thank you for bringing it. This is a great effort to continue to move us another step forward, but we still have a long way to go.
Anyone else? Seeing nothing else, thank you all very much. Representative Boone, before you leave, should this bill pass out, would you like to carry it to the floor?
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Memorial. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anyone else on SJM 201 at this point from the public? All right. With that, I'm going to, before I do, committee members, general feeling that folks are ready to work this bill, memorial? Mm-hmm. I thought so. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 201 and open a work session on Senate Joint Memorial 201. Thank you very much. Committee members, any questions or discussion on the memorial at this point before I recognize Vice Chair Krieger? Seeing none, Vice Chair Krieger.
Chair, would I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to SJM 201 dated February 12th, 2016?
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krueger moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Joint Memorial 201 dated February 12th, 2016. Is there discussion on his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, it is adopted. Thank you very much, committee members. Vice Chair Krieger.
Chair, would I move SJM 201 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves Senate Joint Memorial 201 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? I'm seeing none. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Excused.
Representative Frederick?
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Whitson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
Aye.
Chair Witt?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes, and I will assign Representative Boone to carry this memorial to the floor. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Joint Memorial 201. Thank you, committee members. Next on our agenda is Senate Bill 1517A, and I'm going to open a public hearing on that bill. Mr. Roper, would you give us a brief summary of that, please?
Sure, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1517A requires the governing body of Tillamook County to adopt a pilot program for the creation, restoration, and enhancement of wetlands in areas zoned for exclusive farm use. It requires the program to include a mechanism for parties to enter into a collaborative process to settle disputes. It authorizes the governing body to initiate a planning process to identify which areas zoned for exclusive farm use are suitable for wetlands and which should be designated as priority areas for agriculture. This act has a sunset date in 2026. There's also a Dash 6 amendment up on OLIS.
Thank you very much. And do we have the sign-up sheet yet? And I'm assuming that we have Senator Johnson, Senator Roblin, and Representative Boone. And Commissioner Labhart's here. Can have him sit on deck here. Well, there we go. Late breaking news. And Representative Gomberg as well. Why don't I have a... Yeah.
Just break it off.
That's right.
They did. They did.
Jesus.
Good morning and welcome to each of you. Please decide among yourselves the order of your testimonies.
Home court advantage, Commissioner.
All right.
Okay.
You can probably answer the question.
Chair Witt.
Welcome.
Members of the committee, my name is Mark Labhart, and I have the privilege of being the chair of the Tillamook County Board of Commissioners. I have been a county commissioner for 12 years, served 46 years in public service. I sit on the Association of Oregon Counties Board of Directors. I also sit on their legislative committee, and today I'm representing the Association of Oregon Counties in support of Senate Bill 1517 with the Dash 6 amendments, and AOC recommends that you support the bill. I apologize for what I'm going to do next. I'm going to read my testimony because I do want to make sure I capture all the points I want to make. So I apologize for reading this to you. I understand my words today are likely going to fall on some deaf ears to some of you because I'm told leadership has instructed you to kill this bill, even though it passed in a bipartisan vote in the Senate 25-3. Bipartisan in the Senate 25-3. I was told that we had the votes to pass this bill out of this committee and to the floor, with only one of you possibly not supporting the bill. I'm told that passage will not happen now because you have been instructed by leadership to kill this bill. For the life of me, and many others in this room watching on TV, we can't figure out why, because this is a good bill. This bill has the support of Tillamook County's two Democratic senators. This bill has the support of Tillamook County's two Democratic representatives. It's a work of significant compromise over several weeks. And I can't thank the governor's office enough, particularly Lori Annan, Brett Brownscombe, and Marianne Nash from the Farm Bureau. We worked for hours crafting this bill in a compromised manner that we believe can be supported. And the governor's office was critical in helping to craft this bill to where it is today. We thought we had support, especially after it passed the Senate 25-3. Those compromises included removing the statewide provision. It was a statewide bill at first. There were some concerns about liability, so we removed that. There was concerns about the ability of farmers to clean their ditches and adding more to be able to clean ditches. We removed that and compromised on that. This bill turned into a fairly little innocuous pilot project in Tillamook County, and we thought we had support to implement it. Oregon's farmers and ranchers have been leaders in voluntary conservation efforts to restore fish and wildlife habitats. Oregon cannot restore these valuable habitats without their voluntary support. Oregon, I speak today for Tillamook County's efforts. I've lived in Tillamook County for 31 years. Tillamook County's dairy farmers have been leaders in voluntary riparian fencing, hundreds of miles of fencing, voluntary habitat restoration projects to restore critical coho habitat, culvert replacements, wetlands projects, restoration efforts to restore tide gates. Senator Johnson and I have been co-conveners on a multi-year effort in working with our local dairy farmers, conservation groups, state and federal agencies on what many have said is going to be the largest wetlands restoration project in Oregon's history, and that's in Tillamook County. In Oregon's history, at the same time, this project is going to reduce unacceptable flooding. The permits are in. We have no appeals to this project. We're going to create the largest wetland restoration project in Oregon history. We're going to reduce flooding. We're going to be affecting farmers, and we're going to do a conservation effort, and we have no appeals. And we're going to bid here shortly to do this project. It's a $10 million project. So that tells you what farmers and local governments can do collaboratively to make this work. Was it difficult to achieve? You bet your sweet bippy it was. It was tough. There was a lot of consternation behind the scenes, working behind the scenes with local government, with the state, with federal partners, and others to make this happen. And we made it happen because we could work collaboratively. This is a project because of the efforts of farmers, the Tillamook County Creamery Association, local, state, and federal government working together. The county led the effort. Senate Bill 15 does nothing more than allow local governments to have a say in wetlands restoration projects where we do not now. Local governments should be allowed to work on a collaborative project just like the county has done in the Southern Flow Corridor project. Right now, wetlands restoration projects are a permitted outright use with no local government having a say in how the project might negatively impact a neighboring farmer and maybe taking adjacent prime farmland out of production. Local government should have a say in working on a collaborative solution to maintaining our ever-decreasing farmlands and encouraging, and I emphasize that, encouraging wetland restoration projects where they do not now through Oregon's land use planning process. Remember, it's a permitted outright use. Local government has no say. It's not about winners and losers here, folks. It's working together to find collaborative solutions. We did that when the county led the effort through the Southern Flow Corridor project. Some in this room, maybe in the back of the room, don't want local government to have a say in what happens on the ground. They don't trust local government to do the right thing for the environment. That could be no further from the truth in Tillamook County, I can tell you. They want the state to have total control. They say, we know what's best for you attitude. That's not good for the state. That's not good for this great state of Oregon. We work collaborative together. That's not good for the farmers who make a living off the land that they own. I believe the farmers in this room will be less likely to work voluntarily with the state in helping to restore our fish and wildlife habitats when they see the kind of, quote, big government, we know what's best for you attitude from legislative leadership. This is a sad day for me because I and others have worked very hard to get this compromise bill to where it is today. And your leadership appears to be giving you marching orders to kill the bill. It passed the Senate 25-3. I know when you're down to your last days, crazy things happen. I've been here before. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a good bill. It's a pilot project. It's a pilot project in Little Tillamook County. It's a test to see how we can work together in a collaborative way to maintain our ever-decreasing farmland and continue to restore our much-needed wetlands in this state. I know my words today may have fallen on deaf ears because you have your marching orders from leadership, and you have been instructed to fall in line. But again, I implore you, this is a good bill. This is good for Oregon. And I'm so disappointed that it will not get a chance to be heard on the floor of our Oregon House of Representatives. Thank you all for your attention to what many of this room thought was an important matter to the future of this great state. Thank you.
Committee members, my intention is to take questions after the entire panel testifies. I do recognize, however, that there may be those instances where either a question or a comment loses its importance should we wait. And with that, I'm going to make a statement now. And then I think Vice Chair McLean also wants to make something. Yes. And then we'll take the general questions and comments afterwards. But, Mark, you have made a very forceful statement, and I want to be equally forceful right back. There, under no circumstances, were there any whatsoever, zero, zip, none, instructions by any leadership in the House of Representatives to kill this bill. To the contrary. And you may have seen representatives from the Speaker's office in this room earlier. If there are any instructions, and I don't believe there is a single one, the request is, to the extent possible, that I make sure that this committee try and resolve any remaining differences on this bill and do whatever I can to get this bill out of this committee and on its way to the floor. So I think you have the complete support of the leadership of Oregon House of Representatives, not only to pass the bill, but to, in essence, tell you that you have their complete support to move forward with the project when we resolve, hopefully, a couple of existing problems. Vice Chair McLean.
I just want to make this statement because I feel the passion that you have here this morning. That in my first session, I came in and we had a bill that was dealing with raw milk. And somebody came up to testify and they said, I want you to understand this is not about raw milk. This is about my freedom of speech. And assumed that everybody up here was against, I guess, raw milk. And I had to turn on my little hello chair, and I have a comment. I was drinking raw milk till I was 8 years old on our dairy, and quite frankly, I think raw milk's just fine. You just need to make sure your dairy's clean and it passed the tests that it needs to pass to be able to produce milk. But it's one of those things where we're here to listen to you. We're here to listen about the project, and I think that we're all here to make sure that everyone is heard when they come before this committee. So thank you for being here today.
With that, who's next?
I'll start.
So for the record, Arnie Robinson, Senator, District 5. I want to commend Representative Witt's comments in the last moment. I have talked in the last day or so because I've heard the same kinds of suggestions. I agree with you completely that there is no leadership requirement. They've been straight in my eye and said that that's not the issue. So I appreciate your comment. I do think this is a very important bill. We have to figure out ways in which we can get people on the ground to collaborate and have conversations. And just like all of us know, we have worked very hard to protect farmland in the valley through land use processes, and we have a lot more land than we probably would have had if we hadn't. Well, I know we have a lot more land. We have a wine industry that was protected because land that didn't think people would use for farm has turned out to be pretty valuable land right now. The problem here is in Tillamook County you have a group of dairy people who decided to come to that valley 100 years ago and make a living and ended up developing the Tillamook Cheese Factory and all those other kinds of stuff. And over the last 10 or 15 years, they have started seeing their farmland, which is essential. You have to have enough cows to drink enough milk to get a project like that going. And you've seen Tillamook move some of its operations to the east side at Three Mile Canyon. You've looked at other ways because the market is so great. And we believe in Tillamook County that we need to really work at preserving. In areas outside of this county, a lot of the fight is to keep it from being housing and having other kinds of development on it. Here, it is that constant conversation about how do we make environmental people and riparian zone and wetlands restorations happen at the same time that we keep enough farmland to have the need to keep it going. And there comes a I think it's a very tight balance with respect to Tillamook County. When I took a tour a few weeks ago with the Farm Bureau and with our county commissioners over in Tillamook to look at the big project that they have in the South Flow Project, it is really remarkable. And if you haven't seen it, it took probably 10 years to get it done. But there was this agreement, and the county put a lot of money in to help with the getting all the funds necessary to buy this property and to build this deal, because everybody recognizes it could be a boon in a whole lot of different ways. And then we come to this, and all of a sudden you end up having a farm bought for a wetlands project. And the wetlands project comes in, and it's going well. No one was really totally complaining until the floods that happened. And because of the way that was raised and because there was no conversation about how do we help protect our neighbors to the side, no new dikes were committed or whatever, you had a flood take place, including the house and the people next door. Now, all we're asking for is the opportunity in a pilot project for county commissioners who have proven themselves over time to care about both of these issues to sit down and have a real conversation when they go to a new wetlands project to decide, can we mitigate the issues that might happen to the farmers on the right or the left of us? And how do we build those into a conversation, including the conversation that happens with both of them? And how do we start realizing which are the most important places that really need to be wetlands, because we can see the benefits of those, and where are the places where you could make it a wetland, but the advantages of taking that away from farmland outweighs that. Having that conversation with a group of county commissioners who I trust, and I really believe the farmers are getting to that same place, is something that I think we need to do. And this is one of the few places where outright farm use is a part of our process right now. So you can go in and do a wetlands restoration without going through the processes that we do for a lot of other kinds of organizations. They have an outright use. We have outright uses for different kinds of things. This is one of the few ones that's an outright use for prime farmland. And so what we're asking for is to have a pilot project to look at it, make sure that this is the right way to go forward. It may not be something that 10 years from now we expect any other place to use, or we don't extend it to any place else. It goes away. I mean, that's the conversation that this 10 year. And the reason it's 10 years is almost everything takes 10 years. This is not because we're going to institutionalize it. Collaborative processes take time. They require people to make that tough decision about whether it's this or that. And therefore, you need some time to have it happen. And I appreciate your attention and hope that you consider sending this bill to the floor for an up and down vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16, which includes a big portion of Tillamook County. I'm not sure what the problem is with this bill. I was told yesterday that the opponents say that it's going to kill habitat restoration for the next decade. I find that absolutely ironic and laughable, considering that the largest West Coast habitat restoration project in the United States is happening in Tillamook right now. And it is the result of a multi-year collaboration. We started out, as Commissioner Labhart said in his testimony, this was an Oregon Solutions project. It's been the longest-running Oregon Solutions project in Oregon Solutions history. We have raised multiple millions of dollars from private and public resources. We have gone through multiple appeals, one that I remember quite clearly, where on our side of the table there were 20 superbly prepared people making the case for why the Southern Flow Corridor ought to go forward. And on the other side were two bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. who hadn't read their own rules. We prevailed with the help of our congressional delegation. Commissioner Labhart and I and others have been out rattling a tin cup to help pay for this thing. We are all permitted right now. We are ready to go. And it is living testimony to the kind of collaboration that this bill seeks to memorialize in statute. When we all came together, farmers and environmental folks, federal people, state people, we had significant disagreements. And we have, through a collaborative process that this bill speaks to, worked them out at a table. And now we are in absolute unison moving forward with this 450 almost acre habitat restoration project for the benefit of fish and the reduction of flooding. This is Exhibit A in how collaborative problem solving occurs, and we are asking you to memorialize what happens in practice in Tillamook County by moving House Bill or Senate Bill 1517 forward again out of the Senate with big numbers. And this bill is testimony to the fact that in Tillamook County we know how to get it done in a collaborative process for the benefit of the environment, fish, farmers, and flooding. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm going to, well, Representative Gomberg's going to do the end piece, but I just wanted to add I'm still a little stunned. It was this morning I found out there was a problem. A couple weeks ago, some of the dairy farmers from Tillamook, Deborah Boone, House District 32. A couple of weeks ago, some dairy farmers in Tillamook County made the trip down for, I think it was a Farm Bureau meeting to discuss other things as well as this, but also made a stop at my office and, you know, said that they were a little nervous about it. And I said, oh, this is easy. This is a culmination of, as you heard, 10 years of getting people together. I mean, I remember that first meeting I attended of that Oregon Solutions project. It was in the Tillamook County Library. There were people in the room who you would not have expected to be in the same room, let alone on the same side of the sidewalk. And everybody maybe was a little grumpy, you know, at first, because there was a level of trust that had to be built for these things to go forward. And so that was some years ago, 10 years ago. So to have this come forward and watching this South Sioux thing come to fruition has just been amazing. The people who are involved in it, and, you know, I have to give credit to my colleagues, Senator Johnson, Senator Roblin, Mark Labhart, Commissioner, and now Chair of the County Commission, and David Gomberg, Representative from the other part of Tillamook. He just picked up Tillamook a couple sessions ago. But this is the epitome of collaboration, and people, I'm sure, have even gone out for beers together that wouldn't have. But this project is what, when I was a watershed chairman in, it was the 90s or something, I did it for 6 years. One of the hardest things that we had to do was bring the two sides of any issue together in the same room. And that was the bulk of my work. It was almost impossible at some times, but what really needed to be done was build the relationships and build the trust, and then you could pretty much get anything done. So I was really surprised to hear that there was any problem. I came down here today to speak to this, just to lend my voice to make sure you knew that the whole delegation from that district and arranged around that project is very supportive. So pardon my lack of you know, whatever preparedness in this. I didn't think I was going to have to fight for anything other than to say thank you very much. So I hope that that will be my final word. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, David Gomberg from House District 10, which encompasses parts of Polk, Yamhill, Lincoln, and southern Tillamook County. I'm fond of reminding people that that Representative Boone has the creamery, but I've got all the cows and most of the wetlands. And Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd like to try and change the tone of this presentation, if I may, because this is crazy time during the short session, and we are all
crazy
knowledgeable that the building is rife with rumors and there's misunderstandings and sometimes miscommunications. And I certainly appreciated Commissioner Lamhart's passion this morning, which reflects his strong feelings, Tillamook County's very strong feelings on this measure. But I think that he may have been misinformed, and I think you took a good step to clarify that. You all know that I'm a member of House leadership. I've been in contact with the Speaker's office this morning. There is no opposition from the Speaker's office on this measure. This measure is not in the Speaker's hands. It's in all of your hands. And so I'm very pleased that we have an opportunity to move this bill along. There are friends of mine from Tillamook County in the room today, and farmers are used to getting up early. What I can tell you is that when I drove home last night, the roads were damp. Coming back over this morning through Van Duzer Corridor, the pavement was at about 29 degrees. We were driving right into the sunrise. People would not be here if they didn't have strong feelings about this measure. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to collaborate. It's an opportunity to cooperate. It's an opportunity to fix problems and move forward. And you've heard the details from everybody else here at the panel this morning. I just want to emphasize that I support the efforts to bring stakeholders together to figure out equitable, thoughtful ways to move forward for both wetlands and for farms. So I hope we can find a way to move this bill forward. Time is short, but let's take advantage of the time we've got. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Appreciate everyone's testimony. Briefly to those of you who've expressed a plea, actually, to move this bill out of committee, I would say that in the past 16 hours, I have become increasingly convinced that folks have gone back and have sharpened their pencils and tried to make it possible to get this bill out today, and we're going to do everything that we can to try and make that possible. So I hope that's helpful. I am cautiously optimistic, and with that, I will open it up to the committee for your questions or comments. Vice Chair McLean.
I think that because I'm new, okay, this is, I still get to be a freshman for a couple more days. I think the one thing that I haven't read or I think would be really helpful, and especially for you, I want you to answer the question because you've had the 10 years of experience of being there. What does this bill offer you that you didn't have in the way of a framework or in the way of a position that will make this a better job and better collaboration going forward?
Chair Witt, Representative McLean, very good question. What this bill offers is an opportunity for local government to have a say in how wetlands restoration projects are done and how, as Senator Roblin eloquently said, how it affects the neighbors. Right now, under Oregon land use law, it is a permitted outright use. Local government has no say. In most of Oregon's land use practices, that authority has been delegated down to local government. So local government does have a say, and we call it conditional use. You can put conditions on things that affect land use activities because we're close to the ground. We can listen to the folks, both pro and con, and we can put conditions on things. In the interest of wetlands restoration projects, the local government has no say at all. It's a permitted outright use. It happens. And so when it does negatively affect an adjacent property owner, they have no recourse. And when it's appealed to the Board of Commissioners, we'll not go with the appeal, and it'll go to LUBA, and LUBA will rule because it is a permitted outright use, and that neighboring property owner has no say. What we're doing with this pilot project, ma'am, is we want to have a say in how it happens. We are not against wetland restoration projects. Clearly, there's no effort to stop wetland restoration projects. This is allowing local governments to have a say in helping to craft ways to mitigate, to not damage neighboring prime farmlands.
Thank you.
Representative Gorsuch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to that, so if the county then decides that something's okay, would the person still have a right to appeal to LUBA?
Chair Witt, Representative Gorsuch, yes.
Okay.
And Marianne Nash comes up from the Farm Bureau. She can help explain that because she knows the details, the specific details better than I, but I'm quite confident that yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Frederick, followed by Representative McEwen.
Several questions. You actually answered them, but I want to have them specific. Will this, in your view, delay wetlands projects in other places?
Chair Witt, Representative Frederick, no, it will not delay them. It will help make a better wetlands project, in my opinion.
Okay. And you've just mentioned neighbor notification. What is the president, that you have no ability right now to work with neighbors regarding a wetlands project? Is that what I'm hearing?
Chair Witt, Representative Frederick, yes, sir.
Okay, and you had one more follow-up. You mentioned something about flooding of a family home. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, Chair Witt, Representative Frederick. An example that we talked about out in the hall, the Nature Conservancy purchased a farm to convert to a wetlands project. And as a result of that project, dikes were removed and flooding occurred on the farmland to create the wetland. And as a result of that creation of the wetland, during our December storms, there was significant flooding that the neighboring, the farmer who lived in the, his name is Mr. Dewar, who lived in the house, he was flooded. His house was, the floodwaters came to his house. And he, when we were out there with the Nature Conservancy folks talking about this, he said, you know, 1996 was the worst flood in Oregon's history. He wasn't flooded at that time. This was not the worst flood in Oregon's history that we had in December. Yes, it was a federal declared disaster, but it was not the worst flood. And he had flooding issues as a result of the flooding of the wetlands project. And also neighboring farmland was flooded as a result of this. What we needed to do was work collaboratively with the Nature Conservancy to say, we're supportive of this wetlands restoration project, but let's sit down at a table and let's figure out a way that we can offset this so that we don't impact the neighboring farmlands and the neighboring houses, those kinds of things. But because it was a permitted outright use, there was none of that happened.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I'm needed to sustain a quorum in another committee, so I'm going to excuse myself. But I just wanted to say that this is a good bill, and if you can make it better with an amendment, please do. Representative Boone and I would be happy to co-carry.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate that. Representative McEwen.
Thank you, Chair Witt. And before Representative Gomberg exits, I just wanted to note that we also have a farmer who was up very, very early this morning and drove here from the Coquille Valley because this is an issue that's important to those of us on the South Coast as well. And we appreciate you bringing this to us. I also wanted to note that we have 6 of the 8 Coastal Caucus members in the room before Representative Gomberg exits, who I've been watching this bill very closely and are very interested in the outcome of this bill. So I just wanted to make note of that as well.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, Representative Gomberg.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimonies. With that, I'm going to call forward, please, Tom Wolf, Bruce Taylor, and Bob Olson.
I'm signed up in opposition.
Okay, Wolf, I'm watching you.
Half a dozen. Six, seven.
I have nightmares about that.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to our committee.
Good morning.
Okay, Chair Witt,
Committee members for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I'm here representing the 3,200 members of Trout Unlimited here in Oregon. Let me just describe a typical TU member in Oregon. They're Republican, they're Democrat, they're liberal, they're conservative, they're someone that works in a garage, they're someone that's a doctor that operates in a hospital, they're a college professor, they're an engineer, they're someone that works in a McDonald's. What I'm trying to say is they encompass everybody. What brings them together? What's their common passion? Their common passion is to restore wetlands, restore riparian areas, to bring back wild salmon and trout in the state. And roughly the 3,200 members of Trout Unlimited have put in annually, they put in 20,000 volunteer hours working on projects. And it's enormous work. One of the things we're doing is something called Christmas for Coho, where we collect Christmas trees in the Portland area, take them down to originally it was in Aconicum, but now we're doing other rivers, including rivers in the Tillamook Basin, where we go down, put them in off-channel sites where coho's young are there, and they provide habitat for both the macroinvertebrates that they feed on and for the young coho themselves. Another project we're doing in conjunction with, and I sent you the flyer about this, in conjunction with Tillamook County, is a salmon superhighway where we work to remove culverts that are blocking streams and tributaries in the Tillamook and the Nestucca basins, which ironically is some of the best salmon habitat here in the lower 48. And it's amazing what our members do, and they do it with a passion, and they do it with a love, and they do it with great earnest dedication. And I'm not here to oppose, per se, SB 1517-6 in its current amended form. I understand the county's frustrations. One of the things we always try to do is work strongly with local landowners, with county government, to make sure that everything we do is on a collaborative basis. And I understand there's frustrations. My members, and that's who I answer to, are emailing me constantly because they're worried about will this mean for us doing projects in the future? Does that mean that a county commissioner can block us doing projects? And to be honest, from the language, I don't know. I'm not saying that they can, but I'm not saying they can't. So I'm here to register my concerns. I'm not saying that we oppose necessarily this bill. And, you know, it's much better than it was. Kudos to different people, including the governor's office, that turned this from dealing with our real concerns about the fill issue, about the liability issue, and made it into a Tillamook pilot project. It's much better than it was. But we do worry about some of the language. We do worry about how that's going to impact our projects and what our members do. And so I'm just here to share our concerns and not saying that we shouldn't deal with the county's issues. But I guess what I'm saying is that if there's any way we can delay this and not make the decision in a short session and move on and do it in another session or in a task force, I just offer up that option and I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Tom. And gentlemen and the rest of the audience, due to our time considerations, I'm going to have to limit testimony now to 2 minutes each. So I apologize for that. I realize that may make it difficult for a number of you, but I simply have no alternative.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair Witt, my name is Bruce Taylor with the Oregon Habitat Joint Venture, a statewide coalition involved in bird habitat conservation. I've been the coordinator for that group since 1992 and have been involved in wetlands issues in Tillamook County since 1993. First, I think we just need to be clear about what the bill does, although scaled back, and it's not a terrible bill. I mean, it's a good bill. I mean, there's a lot of merit to this here. there are some problems. And the basic problem is it makes what's now an outright permitted use, and one that the state has been trying to encourage for more than 20 years now. We've been encouraging wetland restoration here. It makes that subject to new regulations and a review process that has the potential to become highly politicized. Most landowners won't take that on. And you probably won't see many or any new wetland projects in Tillamook County if this bill passes. That's my guess. It's just, if you're talking about additional cost and being run through the what could be a very political process with neighbors, friends, enemies, people just aren't going to do it. It also puts the county in the position of determining what's an appropriate crop for a landowner to grow on agricultural lands. Pasture grasses to support livestock, for example, or native wetland vegetation to support salmon and ducks. From a policy standpoint, that's not much different from giving counties veto power over a landowner's decision whether or not to grow GMO crops. I understand the frustration some landowners have around wetland restoration in Tillamook County. I was involved in the early stages of what became the Southern Flow Corridor Project, and I've heard plenty of debate around those issues for the last 20 years it's taken to get to the point where it's just about ready to go, and it is a great project. I also understand the frustrations the Farm Bureau is feeling after raising these issues repeatedly in recent legislatures. Each time they've been put off with suggestions that the state would take steps to address the problems outside the legislative process. That hasn't happened, and I don't blame them and the other proponents of the bill for wanting some action now. We spend a lot of time and money here in Oregon, though, trying to promote voluntary efforts to by private landowners to improve habitat for endangered salmon and other native fish and wildlife. Imposing a new layer of regulation on those few who are willing to undertake that work would be a big step backward. So I'm saying we need to get serious about working through these issues in a collaborative way. You've heard about that a lot today here. And I think we can do that with or without state assistance. We need to do that. But if this committee wants to help, please support those efforts rather than rushing to make major changes in the state land use law in this short session. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce, very much. Bob, if you can hold it to two, I'd appreciate it.
I will. Chair Bob Olson, Northwest Steelheaders, thank you for having this hearing. We are among the organizations that have concerns about Senate Bill 1517. I can't add a whole lot to what's already been expressed, but we do hope you will consult and study these concerns. This is a one-county pilot program that could increase the burden for protecting wetlands and set up county involvement in a new process. This bill could curtail the implementation of projects involving critically important areas of wetlands. It represents significant changes in our land use system and could disrupt the current balance between wetlands and farmlands. We believe this bill could impact local salmon recovery efforts. Accordingly, we hope you will give the bill additional scrutiny. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Right to the point, gentlemen. How do we get to yes?
Chair Witt, committee members, I guess my thought was that there just needs to be a better refinement of what exactly county supervision or means, because I'm still unclear on that, and right now it's a pilot project in Tillamook, but is it going to go and become in other counties? And frankly, some of the greatest concerns I have from my members is from other areas, not from Tillamook. So that's my two concerns that would make it easier for me to just outright say yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
I would just say, you know, the conditional use is the issue as far as I'm concerned. The planning process that the bill proposes, let's sort out, you know, where does it make sense to do this and where does it not? That is a great idea. Is somebody going to pay for that? I'm sure that's the county's big concern. So that may be one aspect that the legislature could help with, because there would be some collaborative process there, and we could sort through those issues.
That guidance is very helpful. Thank you.
And I think it would be helpful to have somebody fully explain the impact of the new amendments that we have just seen.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Committee members, before I dismiss the panel, anything further for this group? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Sorry for the false start. Representative Gorsuch.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. So you don't see the value in doing a pilot project to see how it does or does not work. Is that what I'm hearing from this group?
Chair Witt, Representative Gorzek, I can't speak for the other two people. I'm not saying this. Obviously, I think the pilot project is a much better outcome than what the original bill was. But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm still unclear from some of the language. Is this a pilot project that once it's done, we're going to evaluate the information, or is this something that's going to lead to other pilot projects, perhaps in counties that where the commission, their county commission, is not as project friendly as the Tillamook County Commission is? So,
but it's true though that if you don't like the outcome, you can appeal it to LUBA, right? I mean, it doesn't take the appeal away.
Chair Witt, Representative Gorth, as far as I can tell, you're right. It doesn't take the appeal away. So, again, I'm just speaking for my group. I'm willing to pass the mic on to my more learned colleagues here.
And I would just say I think the pilot project would be fine, but I don't think you're going to test anything because I don't think anybody's going to be doing new projects. The projects that are in the works that are permitted, and there are a lot of great ones going there, but I don't see a whole lot of people coming forward and saying I'm going to go into that meat grinder.
Follow-up?
Please.
How do you know that, though?
I don't. I'm not making any promises. I've been working with these organizations and private landowners all over the state for the last 24 years on this, and that's my opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah, Representative Chair Witt, Representative Gorsuch, nobody knows. I don't know if I step out of this building if I'm going to get hit by a car, but like I said, I'm just sharing the concerns of my members. Yeah. I'm not saying that this necessarily is a bad idea, but just I'm here to represent them. So.
Right. Well, I'm just reacting to the fact that the other gentleman said no one else will do anything.
Okay. I know Tom won't get hit by a car if he doesn't leave the building.
Representative Esquivel, quickly, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've always been an advocate of local control, but more importantly, a statement was made that it might become political. I think that our process today is political. It's special interest groups. And that is in our forest, it's in our ODF&W, it's in our agriculture, you name it. Special interest groups do influence our departments. So I don't see that it's any different than what we have.
Additional questions or comments? Gentlemen, sorry for the false start. Thank you very much.
We're watching you, Tom. You can get up now.
Next up, please, I'd like to call Chad Allen, Marianne Nash, and Jerome Rosa. And if any of you are able to explain the amendments briefly in your 2 minutes, I would be most appreciative. What are we trying to arrive at here?
Chair Witt, members of the committee, Marianne Nash here today on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. We have been working on this legislation for quite some time, as you all heard. This is, I believe, the third attempt at a solution to this problem, particularly in Tillamook County. I am happy to speak to the amendments. One of the primary things that the amendments do versus the Angros bill is the absolute reason we need is there was a Scrivener's error in the original bill. It actually cited to the wrong provision of Oregon land use law around wetlands. That absolutely has to be fixed. The rest of the changes were all an effort to get the governor's office to neutral, and I believe they're here today to speak to the bill being neutral on it now. One of the primary things that they had wanted was for the local planning process to be mandatory so that there is the collaborative process occurring up front. You're not just having the review on a project-by-project basis, but you're taking that countywide look at basically developing priorities for conservation and for agricultural use and kind of ensuring that policies are directed going forward that are protecting both of those uses. One thing I want to say, just because I do only have 2 minutes, is I think this county is incredibly sincere about wanting to work on this issue. Our dairy farmers in Tillamook are among the most progressive in terms of working on habitat conservation projects, advancing the sustainability mission of the Creamery Association, and making sure that they are being partners in these projects. They just want to make sure that when they go forward, they're designed in a way that isn't impacting their farmland, and that they're not going to lose kind of that critical mass of land that they need to support the dairy industry in Tillamook. So I think that there is, I understand where some of the fear is coming from. Anytime you're trying something new, of course there is going to be apprehension about whether or not it will work. But I will say that I feel confident that if this does not work, we wouldn't see it again. But I think if it can work in any county, it is this county. This county is dedicated to making this process go forward in a way that does balance all interests and does make sure it's collaborative and does make sure that everybody is protected in the process. So I think we'll see a success story out of Tillamook, and I'm excited to hear their reports back to the legislature, and they are in the bill directed to report back on progress and on how many applications are processed and how those worked. So what I'd say is, you know, I understand the desire of folks to step back and have more of a collaborative process, but we've been trying for years. Even to date, the governor's office is the only entity that's come to me and said, hey, we're willing to work with you on this. We're willing to talk to you about this. There's from everybody else, I've just heard a lot of apprehension, but no movement and no progress. So we really hope that you'll give this a shot. And I do think it has the appropriate checks and balances to make sure that it's not going to halt restoration work in the county. And if anything, I think it will actually help facilitate it and make it go more smoothly and hopefully dispel some of the tensions that we've seen growing over 6 years when these projects aren't reviewed.
Thank you very much. Jerome, good morning.
Morning. Chair Witt, members of the committee, my name is Jerome Rose, and I'm the executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Oregon Cattlemen's Association is the voice of the cattle industry in Oregon. We represent over 1,800 ranchers in Oregon, named to help grow Oregon's beef industry and promote environmentally and socially sound economic practices. Oregon has over 13,000 cattle producers using 57% of the state's agricultural lands and comprising 14% of Oregon's total agricultural sector. In addition to my role at OCA, I'm also a dairy farmer and the past president of the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association. I'm here to support House Bill 1517 and the -A6 amendments. Senate Bill 1517 recognizes a current gap in Oregon public policy and our approach to constructing wetlands that are adjacent to our state's farms, ranches, and dairies. Unfortunately, too often the construction of these wetlands occurs without regard to the impact on our operations. This causes particular challenges to farmers in the wettest part of Oregon, places where farms struggle to maintain drainage for significant portions of the year. OCA supports 1517 in its attempt to implement a collaborative approach to wetlands in Tillamook County. This bill will allow farmers to work directly with Tillamook County in a comprehensive planning process to prioritize wetlands restoration while protecting agricultural operations. This pilot project is good public policy and recognizes that it is not currently met under Oregon law. We thank the committee, the Oregon Farm Bureau, and other stakeholders for their work on this bill. I hope you will support House Senate Bill 1517 and the -A6 amendments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Witt and other representatives. My name is Chad Allen, and I'm a dairyman in Tillamook. And some of the opposition, I think, that you heard here this morning is based on fear. And I want to set that aside and talk about some of the facts. I have participated in the Oregon Solutions process in the Southern Four Quarter project. I currently sit on the management team for that project and have been a huge advocate in bringing the agricultural community together to get to a yes in the design work that we're at today. That's a fact. The creamery has a long history of working with restoration projects. They have partnered in miles and miles and miles of stream fencing projects and riparian planting. I have personally participated in those. Our family in the Southern Four Corridor project have put into that project the head end of Blind Slough, which is going to allow for the complete reconnection of that slough to tidal flow. That is a commitment that our family has done. This has been a long process over a lot of years to get to where we're at today. We have had numerous meetings with all sorts of different groups in terms of working together to try to get this resolved. We've currently had to say, well, let's make a task force. Well, it never left the room. It just never happened, never materialized. We had meetings with Nature Conservancy 2 years ago at the State Forest Center in Tillamook, and had Senator Betsy Johnson there, and we talked about it, and there was a promise to get together and work to get to a yes. There was never any reach out of any kind from that conservation group to make any effort of any at all to move forward with working this issue out. And so I know Chair Witt that part of your political platform is standing up as a voice for the rural community, and we really urge you to stand up for Tillamook County today. So I encourage you for a vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Committee members, any quick questions or comments? Representative Witsit, followed by Representative Frederick.
Yes, I was just wondering what kind of damage is being sustained by, you talked about a place being flooded when the levees were removed. So what kind of damage to personal property and to the pasture lands is occurring when you don't have a collaborative, when they are allowed to come in and do whatever they want to do without concern for private property?
Yeah, sure, I could get into some of that. So, especially in the tidal areas of Tillamook County, where certainly a lot of these reconversion projects are going to be placed, you deal with a pretty marginal tide table. And so if the design of the project isn't properly designed, or conditions made to improvements and tide gates on the adjacent land use, it could result in higher water tables and later plantings. It's going to be wetter in the winter. We do have a requirement under our CAFO programs that to apply manure and storage and all these types of things. And so if these lands are too boggy, they're just not going to be able to be utilized in that CAFO requirement. And so it's those type of things that are probably the biggest issue in terms of making sure that the project designed is proper. There's nothing in this bill that takes a route, takes away the opportunity for these projects. It's really designed around the fact that when there's a site that's been identified to meet the needs for restoration, that is designed in a way that is compatible with its adjacent land uses. The idea that we're going to reconvert a large area back into tidal influence and not impact the neighbors is just a false one. That's the real key part of it. It's all about design, because we still have to function within a developed community. You know, we're not going to leave. So how do we do things in a way that we can meet our objectives and also be sustainable for our rest of our community?
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Frederick.
Well, thank you, Chair Witt. You mentioned checks and balances within the new within the amendment, the A6 amendment. Point out where those are for me, because I'd like to see what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll try to be as brief as possible, because I think it helps to know where we started and also a little background on land use law and Oregon land use law. So we originally had proposed making wetlands a sub 2 and just a conditional use. And I think you've heard that term a little bit, and that means that it's subject to review for impacts on neighbors, and then the county could also impose any additional factors that they wanted to. And most counties do for those non-compatible uses in farm zones. So when we heard that concern of, well, a county could disallow it or a county could put a whole bunch of conditions on it, we said, okay, well, we're happy to leave it as a sub 1 and outright permitted use, but just say that it's subject to review only for the impacts on neighbors. So we think that piece is a check. You're only looking at whether it significantly increases the cost of neighboring operations or forces a significant change in their practice. And that standard has been really well developed over time through case law, because it's the exact same standard that's used for other uses in farm zones. And then on top of that, we had heard concerns from the governor's office about, well, if you just have that project-by-project analysis going forward, how do you really engage in a collaborative process, either for that project or in the broader community. And so we said, okay, well, we'll create a process where you could kind of bump yourself into this collaborative process if you're going to do a project and you don't really know if neighbors have concerns, but, you know, maybe you've talked to some people and think maybe they do. You can apply for your permit, and then as soon as you get comments, you can bump into the collaborative process and say, okay, we've heard your concerns. Let's sit down around a table and resolve them, and then those can become the conditions of your permit. And then on top of that, we're doing this countywide planning process that is going to engage all impacted stakeholders, everybody who has an interest in these kinds of projects, from the agricultural community, conservation community, tribes, local state government, federal government, and actually have them sit down and talk about, okay, where are areas that we think are really ideal for wetland work? Where are areas that we think are really, really important to maintaining the functioning dairy industry in Tillamook? And then how can we engage in planning around those to kind of make sure that we're promoting the right values in the right places? And so we think by using existing land use law, you already have some checks. That's a very well-defined process and one that counties are very familiar with implementing. But then we've tried to take the extra step of really creating all of these opportunities for collaborative discussions to ensure that these projects move forward and that everybody's voice is heard around the table.
Thank you.
Vice Chair McLean, and before you...
Actually, she answered my question.
Okay, good. We're right at this moment. Committee members, what time does the Republican caucus start this morning?
10.
Do we know? 10? We've got a little breathing room. Thank you for that. That's helpful. Additional questions or comments for this panel? Thank you all very, very much. Appreciate your testimonies and the fact that some of you have traveled considerable distances with a possibly frozen road as well. So thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
With that, I'm still going to keep us, I'm trying to keep us to the two-minute mark here. Senator Johnson has requested an opportunity to speak again, and with her, I'm going to ask up, please, Mark Nystrom and Lori Annan.
Thank you for your courtesy, Mr. Chair. For the record, Betsy Johnson, Senate District 16. I want to thank you for the opportunity to correct the record. We're at a point in this session where more communication rather than less, I think, is critical. I was just called up to the Speaker's office 10 minutes ago, and I have her personal assurance that there is no leadership attempt to kill this bill. I may have been guilty of drawing conclusions from a meeting that I had with the Chair yesterday, and for that, I apologize to him publicly. I'm convinced at this point that the Chair and the Speaker are relying only on the good judgment of this committee to move forward. I hope you have heard sufficient compelling testimony today to act affirmatively on Senate Bill 1517. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Witt and members of the committee. For the record, Lori Annan. I work in Governor Brown's Natural Resources Office. And I will be brief and take any questions. First of all, you've heard from everybody who's come up that Oregon needs a thriving agriculture economy and it needs healthy fish and wildlife habitat to sustain coho salmon and other species. And what I wanted to do is say is we have worked very closely with the proponents of the bill to make amendments, and we appreciate their work on it. We are neutral on the bill. We recognize that people have concerns about trying something new, but Representative Boone did say it very nicely earlier that to be successful at these restoration projects, you need to have a collaborative approach. It needs to be built on relationships and trust in the community, and it really needs to be supportive to have it be as successful as possible. So I'm not sure what you're thinking about with this bill. It's had a lot of work done already. But whatever can be done that results in encouraging and supporting the collaborative approach to look at all the issues on the table, that was why we were really supporting the planning process to happen so that all issues could be looked at by everybody. So that is what we're hopeful can happen as a result of these conversations. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good
morning. Chair Witt, members of the committee, I'm Mark Nystrom. I'm the policy manager for the Association of Oregon Counties. So we represent all 36 counties. This bill came up before us back on February 1st. Every committee, or our Energy, Environment, and Land Use Steering Committee unanimously supported it. Our Legislative Committee unanimously supported it. If anything, there's been some disappointment that it's been cut back to a pilot project just for Tillamook County. And the reason that we supported it's because it's about local control. And it's about collaboration, and those are two of the strongest things that AOC believes in. The sincere and committed dedication that the Tillamook County commissioners have shown towards this has made these, in making their concessions and compromises on this bill, has made this a very onerous project that they're going to need to go through. This is going to be very difficult for Tillamook County to take on, and I admire their efforts to try to find a solution that would work for both the conservation community and the farm community. I think that after this 10-year pilot project, what we may find is that this is really going to be difficult for other counties to take on. I want to thank the governor's office for committing to help us try to find funding for this, because as you all know, especially our coastal communities, the counties are struggling, and to find the necessary dollars to go through a planning activity like this is going to be very difficult for any other county. So we look forward to seeing the results of this pilot, and we look forward to seeing if there's something that we can glean from this project that we can help other committees or counties go forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Committee members, just so that you know where we're at, I have two more panels to go. And so short questions or comments. Vice Chair Krieger.
Pilot projects are used by the legislature every session to take a look at proposals, to see how they're going to work out and give us an opportunity whether to expand it, change it. Right now we have two or three going with DHS regarding foster care, dependency, pilot projects in certain counties, not across the state. And we're learning a lot about what maybe to take forward and not take forward. I look at this as being one county, and we need to see if the assumptions that might come out of it are going to be working or not working, and it gives an opportunity for both sides to have comment at the local level and have input. Why would we not do it?
Vice Chair McLean.
Mine was a question for the governor's office. It feels to me like you have reviewed the amendments, worked on the amendments, and feel comfortable that the amendments are not going to hurt our land use laws. That with a pilot project, that this is simply allowing for more cooperation, neighbor-to-neighbor type of an approach to some of these projects going forward, with an understanding that we need to know how it's affecting our neighbors. But can you speak to that?
Yes, Chair Witt, Representative McLean. We did spend a lot of time looking at that part of the bill because it is a big change from the current way the land use laws work for these types of projects. And I think from all indications about the conversations we've had on the bill, the intent is to say, how do we get people to look at these projects and look at the issues in a broader way than has been perhaps happening in the past, or at least that's how people feel may be an issue. And so we felt comfortable doing it as a pilot, knowing that we want to see how it actually works on the ground. I mean, certainly we can think we can predict what will happen, and we hope what will happen is that we've got good collaboration and thinking forward. But it is a pilot to see how it works, and then to see what the issues might be, and do we want to keep doing this or have a different approach. I think from that standpoint, we feel comfortable with that direction.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you both very, very much. Call up, please, Kelly Beamer, Esther Lev, and Fred Messerly. If you'd hold on just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Good morning. Please determine among yourselves the order of your testimonies.
Okay, I'll start. Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kelly Beamer. I'm the executive director of the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts. We represent 19 private organizations that work with willing landowners around the state to do voluntary conservation efforts. And those efforts are ultimately aimed to reduce regulatory pressure that nobody wants to see happening here in Oregon. I appreciate the opportunity to comment today on Senate Bill 1517. I think that one thing I've heard that's complete consensus in the room today is we don't want to see landowner grievances as a result from conservation projects. In fact, our land trusts have really strong relationships with farm, forest, and ranch owners around the state and have a really strong track record of working collaboratively. I think that the intent I'm hearing out of this bill is that we want to see more collaboration. We want to see neighbors notified. And we want to see a robust planning process, probably similar to what we saw in the state of Oregon around sage grouse. And this committee is very familiar with that issue. But if you recall, it was an incredible achievement that we didn't see a listing of sage grouse. And it happened because agencies, landowners, conservation groups were brought together to work in a collaborative way. It didn't happen by requiring a conditional use permit, for example, for grasslands restoration. And we feel like there is a really similar opportunity in the Tillamook area. You've heard an example of the Southern Flow Corridor project that was a remarkable success. That has had happened under the current land use laws through strong collaboration, Oregon Solutions pathway. And the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts absolutely supports that. We believe that there are those components of collaboration in the bill as written in the planning process. And you've heard this morning strong support for that process. It will bring neighbors together, agencies, and perhaps look at some of those underlying issues that you heard Senator Roblin speak about this morning regarding the tension of conservation and productive farmland, because there's no doubt we want both. But we believe that that planning process should happen first, and then we can take steps to introduce, if necessary, the conditional use review. My job is to put on our land trust hats. We have members, the Nature Conservancy, Lower Nehalem Community Trust, and North Coast Land Conservancy. The latter two are very local small land trusts that work in Tillamook County, have great relationships with the planning department, but I have reached out and they have told me that this process that is a new review as outlined in ORS 215-296 that requires some the applicant to prove it will not force significant change on farm forest practice and surrounding land. That's not just the neighbor property. Surrounding land can be interpreted as the whole region. It's a costly burden and a pretty big burden of proof. And what they said to me is, Kelly, yeah, this will make us stop and think twice. And so I just want to let you know that I'm representing, you know, a broader conservation interest in a strong collaborative effort. We're enthusiastic about supporting this bill. If we can reduce that conditional use, if we can take out that conditional use review, and again, really appreciate the efforts of everybody around the table. I wish that the conversation that's happened the last 6 weeks during this legislative session can continue, and because it's some of the most important learning lessons I've had. But before we take drastic steps, I do want to strongly support our support of removing the conditional use permit. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Witt, committee members. For the record, Esther Lev, the Wetlands Conservancy. As you can see, that by our name is, we're a statewide organization when conservation of wetlands is our mission. Is I was struck this morning as I heard the Coastal Caucus give their testimony, because it was 90% of the same stories that I was going to tell. And again, agriculture and wetlands in this state are both really important, and they come together. And unfortunately, each time we get into this thing, where they're put against each other rather than looking at those stories together. I just passed around a book that I wrote several years ago. It's called Heroic Tales, and I see you guys in the same thing as heroes. The reason the people in this book were called heroes is they chose, these were all ranchers around the state of Oregon, they all chose to enhance wetlands on their property and in their communities. Both their complaint was the regulatory community and people in the farm community treated them all like that they were evil because they were taking land out of production. Regulatory people didn't treat them with respect because they didn't use the same wording that scientists use. So one of the jobs that I played after that was to go around and actually say to state agencies, maybe this is a way that you can work with these people, get better, putting it forward. A project that I've been working on in Representative McEwen's district in Coos Bay, there was a dairy farm that went under. We bought it 15 years ago in a farm auction. At the time, all those things, if you're taking land out of production, you know, for 3 years that did. Then 10 years ago, the Coos North Bend Water Board needed to extend water service in Coos Bay and North Bend. They needed to do mitigation. We've now done two projects with them on that. There's now salmon that have returned there. Also, during that period of time in Coos Bay, the school week went down to 4 days. We start working with the Watershed Association there, having school out there. In Coos Bay, kids not going to school, that's 1 day of not meals, and kids were doing that. So in my experience, the land use process doesn't seem the way to do this. I've been working in collaboratively in Harney County and then in Lincoln County, just doing a process. We had to get a permit, so we went through DSL. I had to give them a list of all of the neighbors and the addresses. I had to do two different from DEQ and DSL. I had to have the county planning department at $150 a pop sign off on those things. So my own experience is that the collaborative process is a really good one, and I'm not sure that the land use process helps that, because in other rural parts of the state with agriculture, I've seen that. So I encourage you, again, I support the collaborative thing. I'm equally as frustrated as the people in Tillamook County, because through three sessions, I've given this same testimony, and nothing's happened. And so if we really do a collaborative process, but again, that conditional use, to me, I'm not sure how that fits into supporting that collaboration.
Esther, thank you very, very much. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Chairman Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Fred Messerly, Coos Bay, Oregon. My family has worked resource land and lived on that land since 1852 in Coos County in southwestern Oregon. I've personally been a manager of coastal tidal wetland over 50 years. I served as a Coos County Commissioner from May 2011 to January 2013. I've got 15 years as chairman of the Beaver Slough Drainage District and have had a lead role in our China Camp Creek project, collaborating with the Winter Lake Restoration Project, which I'm going to go a little Texas on you here, is 1,700 acres is impacted, and our budget's going to be in the neighborhood of $12 million to do that project. But we are going to raise a ton of fish and also grow a lot of beef when we get that thing put together. It's encouraging to hear the thread through all of this morning, the collaboration. And we all, both agriculture and the conservation community, we all want to do what's best for the land. And our interests are absolutely not mutually exclusive. The work we've done on our project, it's had to be a collaborative effort. My concern is that, with regard to Senate Bill 1517, is the wisdom of making a very complex process more complex when we're living on the edge of gridlock as it is. I would submit that, and the fear there is that you pass this bill this morning and declare victory, and everybody goes home, and it's another 10 years before we can move this discussion forward again, and we don't have time. If we can't maintain and repair and replace our infrastructure on the coast to protect us from the tides, we're out of business, and all this land becomes default wetland ultimately. So that is really the rest of the iceberg. This bill is just the tip of the iceberg, and the reality of it is that what drives our ability to be able to maintain those tide gates and berms and infrastructure is fish passage, how you're going to fund it, and then there's the essential salmon habitat requirements of the ESA compliance for the Oregon Coastal Coho. All the land use discussion in the world doesn't get us anywhere unless we can deal with those issues, because you'll never get a permit to do it. And so to satisfy not only the fish passage and the funding requirements, but to satisfy the essential salmon habitat, all these projects have got to have some kind of an ecological improvement component to them. And you know, this, we've danced with this now for two legislative sessions. We're to the point now where certainly it's not going to happen in this short session, but what we really need is a forum, whatever it be, a work group, a committee, Oregon Solutions, but we need to get a group together that can come together and define the problem and then propose solutions, hopefully, for the next session. Because tide comes in twice a day, goes out twice a day, and it waits for no man or woman. And we just don't have the time to wait another 2, 4, 6 years to start addressing these problems, because we're experiencing failures. When we have failures, we have crisis. And that costs three times as much to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you all very, very much. I'm going to open this up for questions and comments. I'm going to have a direct question for each of you, and I'm going to be looking for how we get to yes. I want to try and get this bill out of this committee today. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to send it someplace else. And Fred, just as you say, I know that next tide's coming in. All right, and I want to make sure I want to make sure that we get this moving as quickly as we can. So I want each of you to think when it gets my turn to ask a question directly. How do we get to yes? Questions or comments, Vice Chair McLean.
One of the things that I've been hearing over and over again is the difference between the outright use and the conditional use, but also the comments about, but we really want to talk. And sometimes when you have an outright use, you talk, but you know you've got an outright use. Even if you've got a criteria, you've still got an outright use. So if you're saying that you really believe that the conversation, both agriculture and wetlands are important, what is there about the outright use that you feel you deserve or earned or somehow have to have if we're really trying to get to a compromise, we care about both wetlands and ag?
You want to take that question?
Well, I think it's, in my opinion, it's more about adding more process to it, where we've already got to be able to apply for the combined joint permit. We have to get sign off by the county. They have the ability to review the permit. They have the ability to impose conditions there. This process is brutal, to say the least, certainly on these large projects that get a lot done. And a lot of the issue, my understanding, is in the engineering and that sort of thing. The permitting process scrutinizes that very carefully, and in addition to that, it gives notice all the way through the process also.
Representative Frederick, followed by Representative McEwen.
I'm getting two different words, two different messages here about a couple of, one quick thing. Does the county already have the ability to review the permits? And if it does, then it seems as though it should have been able to do something regarding the flooding that we've heard about. If it doesn't, then the conditional permit seems like a very good idea. So which one is it?
I might take a stab at that, sure. And feel free to chime in. Chair Witt, members of the committee, right now...
For the record, please.
For the record, my name is Kelly Beamer with Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts. Right now, any entity that undergoes significant wetlands restoration does have to receive a permit from the Department of State Lands. That permit does require neighbor notification and county approval. So that is already in place, and I actually believe some of the projects that were referenced this morning went through that permitting process. We'd like to know where it's failing. If somebody did have a land, have a grievance, what's happening there? Right now, a individual can go to county planning and receive what I believe is a ministerial permit, just something over the counter, to do a wetlands project, a small wetlands project on their own land because it is an outright allowable use. We would support some kind of neighbor notification that would bring the parties together and the county could support it without it going to that next step of it being removed from the collaborative and just becoming a county decision, conditional use. So to answer your question, it is a outright allowable use, but if there is a significant project, it does trigger a DSL permit, and Esther might be able to elaborate.
For the record, Esther Lev, the Wetlands Conservancy, and that's part of my questioning of this process, because in other counties of the state, as I said, is that we've just been doing a very big project in Lincoln County, and what we had to do is we had to go to the Department of State Lands to and the Army Corps of Engineers to get permits. With that, in order to get those permits, I'd have the county planning director sign off on those. Is I had to do the same thing with the DEQ permit because we were removing fill, and again, the county planning director. Each time it cost $150 to have the county staff. It was an interesting process as we actually learned some stuff that the county planning staff didn't know about the estuary plan for. So to me, that's why I'm raising these questions. The same thing in Coos County is that I've always had that experience where there's been a process. And so I have not worked in Tillamook County, so I don't know where the disconnect is. And that's why, to me, I want to have this conversation, like, how do we make this work? Because I know in other parts of the state, we have figured out ways to do it. So,
something did not work in Tillamook County. Clearly, the flooding took place, flooded out a family farm, and that family farm. I didn't know whose farm it was, but I actually did a news story on that family farm back way back when in the 80s. So, I am a little. I'm a little confused about why that didn't work if there was already this effort, and I'm frankly concerned about whether the conditional use thing is a good idea, especially for a pilot project at this point. So I would like to. I mean, I may need to talk with the county commissioner from Tillamook County about that at some point too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have Representative McEwen, Esquivel, and Gorsuch.
Chair Witt, thank you very much, and I'll be very brief, and I just want to touch on one of the things that Mr. Messerly brought. What I'm hearing you say is that we have a problem that we are facing in the future that we need to begin to address, and that is failing infrastructure regarding tide gates and berms in our coastal communities. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Chair Witt, Representative McEwen, absolutely. In both the Coquille and Coos Bay estuaries, we have multiple, well over a dozen failures in progress right now. We've been putting the Band-Aids on these things for 15 years, and we're losing ground big time.
And I just wanted to call that out, Chair Witt, and I understand we are very short on time and we're going to need to call this question very briefly, but I just wanted to make sure that the issue that Fred brought to us today is this is the tip of the iceberg with this question that's going to lead to another issue down the road.
Yes.
Is what I'm trying to say, and
yes.
I appreciate Fred calling it out, and I do know that we need to move along, so thank you so much for clarifying that.
Sure. Thank you very much. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess the question should be rephrased maybe a little bit. Does the county have input in order to change this process instead of just saying it's okay to permit it? Because if they go by the statute. They can't deny it. They have to approve it because all the hoops have been run through. Okay. But do they have any control of those hoops? That's the question.
For the record, Esther Lev, again, in the process that I've had in Lincoln County, is what is asked of the county planning when they sign off on that is that they have to look at that project and see if it matches all the county planning rules. And so they do have that opportunity. If they would say no, it will open the door for the process changing and more dialogue that the permit is not just stamped. And again, I haven't worked in Tillamook County. One quick thing in response to Representative McEwen, just in Harney County, one of the things that we've been working with a lot is ranchers out there, and it's a lot about the infrastructure failing out there. And it turns out that flood irrigation really supports birds there. So again, in this collaborative effort, we're looking at ways to actually fund some infrastructure improvements that's helping ranchers and farmers. So again, I think this collaborative process can work.
Okay. Representative Gorsuch.
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair, I'm going to need to hear the county commissioner speak to this issue again because we have gone
all around the barn
out into very deep water.
Yes, and it's my intention to call up DLCD as well as Commissioner Labhart here in a moment. Before I dismiss this panel, how do I get this bill to a point where people may not love it, but are at least comfortable moving forward in a collaborative process? Esther?
Chair Witt, Esther Lev for the record. Again, all the collaborative part, the pilot project I believe in, I just want to make sure as this moves forward, is the conditional use really the best way to do this? And that I really want to assure that if we do go forward with that, how are we also tracking that, what projects, were there projects that did not happen because of this arduous nature or what, you know, because adding more steps on that?
Thank you. Kelly?
I'll echo that removal of the county ordinance to review under ORS 215-296 and keeping a robust planning process and collaborative effort.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to have to. If we were to remove that portion, does that get you to yes?
That gets my members to yes.
Yes.
Now, I recognize that you cannot speak for anyone else other than yourselves, but does that blow up the process?
I touched base with my membership on this before submitting the testimony into the record, and they were in agreement that should that piece be removed, it is absolutely something we could support.
It needs to stay.
All right. Fred.
Chair Witt, for the record, Fred Masserly. You know, I just think this makes the process more subjective and adds more complexity to it. Frankly, I think whether the bill passes or not is not the issue.
All right. Thank you all very, very much. Quickly, please, DLCD and Commissioner Labhart.
Could I ask Marianne to come up, please?
That'd be great. All right. The committee has had a number of questions, and I'm going to punt to DLCD first to answer. I think some of the concerns that were probably best characterized by Representative Gorsuch.
All right. My name is Catherine Daniels. I'm the Farm and Forest Land Specialist for the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I think I can clarify some of the questions that have been raised here today.
Thank you.
Currently, the creation, restoration, or enhancement of wetlands is an outright permitted use in the exclusive farm use zone. That means that a county may not deny the use and may not attach any conditions to the use. It has been suggested that the proposed new process for reviewing this use in the bill is as a conditional use. It would not quite be a conditional use in the sense that other conditional uses are reviewed in the exclusive farm use zone. And that's because there's a provision in Section 4 subsection 2 that says that the governing body may not establish conditions in addition to the standards described in the bill. So it would kind of swing between an outright and conditional use in the way that it operates. Under the new process, it would entail the new ordinance that would be developed by the community in the collaborative process that's set forth.
All right. Commissioner Labhart is in agreement, it looks like. I don't want to speak for you, sir.
Chair Witt, she couldn't have said it any better.
All right.
That's exactly what it is.
Thank you very much. Marianne.
Chair Witt, do you mind if I address a couple of the remaining issues? I'll do so very briefly.
Please.
So we've heard questions about why DSL's permitting process isn't adequate. DSL does look at compatibility with the comprehensive land use plan. But because wetlands are outright permitted, our understanding is DSL's look at impacts to neighbors has been relatively cursory. And when these are habitat improvement projects as opposed to mitigation projects, they really do try to streamline them. And that is when they are even covered by an individual permit. There are projects that can be covered by a general authorization that doesn't require public notice or review. A December 2015 assessment of that general authorization by DSL found that several of the sites that used it involved large removal fill volumes that could create significant changes to the hydrology. Those are changes that can impact neighboring landowners. So the DSL process has really proven categorically inadequate to address these concerns, notwithstanding the fact that it also doesn't include any local involvement with county or other local elected officials. We also heard questions about the burden of proof. Just to be clear, there's a substantial evidence standard. That just means that the county has to make its findings based on substantial evidence that it won't force a significant change in surrounding agricultural practices. So that's not a burden of proof for the applicant per se. It's rather that they come forward and they say, okay, this is our project. You know, no concerns. If no landowner comes forward with concerns, substantial evidence supports the fact there's not an impact. Of course, it will become trickier if both sides hire a hydrologist and are talking in depth about the impacts. But again, it's still just a substantial evidence standard, very common one, same as every other land use conditional use. And I don't think anything to add to that.
Commissioner Labhart.
Chair Witt, if I could just summarize in 30 seconds, what this bill has been through six revisions, six amendment processes, working collaboratively with the governor's office to try to find a compromise solution. If we water this bill down much more, it won't be a bill much more. We have worked this bill substantially, and I think we're at a point where we believe it is workable. But if there's something that you think that you it won't move unless we do something, we'd be glad to talk to you about it. But we have gone through revision after revision after revision to try to craft a bill that is supportable.
Thank you very much. And I understand that. We're going to see what we can do to try and find that final agreement here today. I want to ask that anyone with an interest in this bill, please meet in my office here immediately after we recess. I'm in House 374. Committee members, I apologize, but I have no other option but to recess the meeting till this evening. I recognize also that this means that a couple of you may not be able to attend. I apologize. There's nothing else I can do. We are recessed until 5:30 this evening.
Fred's right. It's all about
House Agri and Natural Resources Committee, February 23rd, 2016, is reconvened. Everyone, so that committee members and audience, so that we know what's happening here. It's my understanding that the parties that met after this morning's session have come up with a -9 amendment that folks are able to live by. That doesn't mean that everybody's in love with it, but able to get to yes. And for that, I am most grateful to each and every one of you for undertaking that. You went to the well one more time and you came back with an agreement. I can't thank you enough. We have two amendments tonight, that dash nine, and we have another one up for consideration from Metro, which my understanding is they would like to build a bridge for one of the paths that they have in a lake east of Port, a couple of lakes east of Portland.
Not the big bridge.
No. Well.
In our dreams.
Oh, no.
There goes that amendment, folks. I understand part of it extends into Washington State, Vice Chair Krieger.
So. Sure, I want
that's
to know
Metro what for you.
Million
or so. Jesus. So. So, and what we're going to do, folks, is to avoid any kind of confusion, well, to try and limit the amount of confusion, I'm going to take those amendments separately, and I'm going to invite up some folks to, first off, present the amendment that you all came up with, amendment number nine, to try and bring a closure to this bill. And so if you would, among yourselves, decide if we could have two, three, maybe four spokespersons maximum to tell us what this is about, I would be most appreciative. A couple of folks would be perfect. Three is fine.
This reminds me of the song Potion Number Nine.
Yeah, that's right. Love Potion.
Love Potion Number Nine.
Krieger was trying to sing? Is that what that was?
That's something you want to hear.
All right. Okay.
So, again, everyone, thank you so much for the good work, fast work that you undertook. And if you would, please tell us about it, and maybe very briefly where you and or your organizations are with respect to that, so that we have that on the record. Thank you very much. Please determine among yourselves the order of your testimonies.
Chair Wett, members of the committee, Mary Ann Nash on behalf of the Farm Bureau. I'll just speak very briefly to the conversations we had in the primary change in the Dash 9 amendment from the Dash 6. We really appreciated the conversation today, and I think it set a really good tone for future conversations to come about a statewide solution. I think everybody's interested in engaging in that conversation in the future. In relation to the pilot project, I think there was more of an agreement from some groups just to kind of step back from the discussion. And one of the provisions that they had kind of concern about is checking back in and making sure that the program is actually doing what it's intended to do. So we beefed up the reporting piece a little bit, and it's probably going to be even almost more of a stakeholder group report back presented from the county. So the report is now going to mandate that they engage with all the stakeholders, the same group that's involved in the planning process, the same group of interests that are involved in the planning process, and report back in their periodic reports.
Thank you very much.
Chair Witt, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to say a few words. My name is Amanda Rich, and I represent the Nature Conservancy. And we are here to say that we're ready to take a leap of faith on these amendments. And we were there was a moment in the meeting when Chad Allen said, you know, you have to set aside fear and have some courage and take a leap of faith. So here we are. So if we're jumping off a bridge, Chad, I hope you've got a bungee cord. we did have a couple of concerns. We do remain concerned about potential impacts on coho recovery, and but we are very excited about the planning process. and are ready to engage wholeheartedly in that process. And we also had concerns about whether or not other counties are going to really want to come in and have this process as well. We think that this should play itself out and hopefully see what the results are from this pilot project before we go to other counties. That said, we stand here in support of the Dash Nines and very much appreciate the dialogue and look forward to the process ahead.
Thank you very, very much. Tom, hi, good evening.
Chair Witt, committee members, for the record, Tom Wolf, Executive Director, Oregon Council Tribe Unlimited. In this whole conversation, I was at a real disadvantage. We're heavily invested in Tillamook County. Unfortunately, the staffer we have working on Tillamook County issues, Alan Moore, I don't want to say decided, but is out for unknown time with sick sabbatical. He's has bad health, so he is impossible to get a hold of. So I've been operating totally in the dark as to what to do on this, and I'll probably get in trouble for whatever decision I made. But recognizing that county involvement is always important, that Tillamook County is a precious resource, and that the streams in Tillamook County, in Tillamook Bay and Nestucca Bay are some of the best salmon habitat in the world, and recognizing how important it is to work with individual landowners and the county and everybody involved, we believe that the Dash 9 amendments are great amendments, and hopefully we'll be able to go on. It allows this to go forward. It gives some safeguards, and I think that everybody that worked on these amendments, the governor's office, Chair Witt, Dan Roper, everybody deserves a pat on the back. This is a great example of everybody working together for the common good. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And for the record, Lori Onan with the governor's office, and I'll be very brief and just say that I appreciate the willingness of taking the leap of faith.
Yes.
A lot of discussions this morning about collaboration, and I do think that is underlying the bill, and that's what needs to happen. And so we'll certainly be watching it closely. A lot of issues have been raised here that need further conversation, and I think this is a good kickoff to making that happen. It's been long coming, I think, and so I'm glad that it is moving forward so that we can build a more productive conversation about all these really important issues.
And Lori, thank you so much for being part of the process, and if you'd extend our appreciation to the governor in everyone's efforts to make sure that this is a process that, despite having taken a leap of faith, everyone can feel as comfortable as possible. And with the governor's office willing to assist, I will extend the offer of this committee as well. If we have some bumps in the road, it may take an extra beer or two, but we're going to get it done. So, committee members, questions or comments for our panel here? Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate, because I think what you've accomplished, because the most fear people have is the unknown. And it looks like you're willing to go down that road, and I appreciate that very much because, you know, trust isn't given, it's earned.
And I think you have earned it together. So thank you very much, Representative Esquivel. Anything further from anyone? Any members? All right. With that, thank you all very, very much. Where else but in Oregon, right? Thank you so much. Committee members, with that, before I recognize Vice Chair Krieger, is there any discussion, any concerns, any issues with respect to the Dash 9 amendments? And I failed to mention or recognize that Senator Whitsitt is our designated hitter this evening, so standing in for his wife. Very, very pleased to have you with us. Thank you. Not seeing anything. I'm not hearing anything, and I am, on that basis, going to recognize Vice Chair Krieger.
Chair Witt, I move to adopt the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A, dated February 23, 2016.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves to adopt the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A, dated February 23, 2016. Is there any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, the motion is adopted. Thank you, committee members. Again, Vice Chair Krieger. Okay, all right, thank you for that. Thank you, yes, we're gonna, folks, we're gonna hold up, and I will hear the other amendment, and then we will, if you are of a mind, adopt them together. So at that point, or at this point rather, I'm going to call forward, please, Randy Tucker, to describe for us the Dash 8 amendments.
This is the river bill passing.
This is the international bill. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Krieger, you caught me. So sorry about that. I thought I could slip that Columbia River crossing right in here. First of all, let me just say I'm just an observer of what just happened, but it's very impressive. I have been watching this bill since it started. We had some concerns originally, and I just want to say that I'm have no intention of anything that I'm bringing forward here in any way impeding the progress of the underlying bill. And so I'll leave it, obviously, to your wisdom to determine what to do. I just want to tell you the background of this proposed amendment. In 1977, there was a statute passed that prohibited removal and fill permits at Smith and Bybee Lakes in Portland. It was passed at the request of the neighborhood around there because the St. John's landfill, which was adjacent to Smith and Bybee Lakes, they were concerned that it would be expanding. It had already been expanding into the lakes in the area. And so this prohibition went into effect. And then 10 years later, PGE got a statute passed that would allow removal fill permits for wildlife habitat enhancements, but for no other purpose. Then, in 1990, Metro became the owner of the St. John's landfill, and in 1991, we closed the landfill, and it's now been closed for a quarter of a century. And we've done a whole lot of improvements there. It's now been planted in, like, prairie grassland habitat, and there is wildlife there. It's and it's adjacent to Smith and Bybee Lakes, which we also own, which is a big bird area, a lot of recreational use, kayakers, hikers, etc. So we're interested in being able to make some relatively limited improvements for the purpose of enhancing recreation in this area. So the original purpose for this preemption no longer exists. The landfill's been closed, as I said, for 25 years. It's not going to expand anywhere. But the underlying statute that preempts us from having any removal or fill permits still exists. And it has only that exception for wildlife habitat improvements. And so we're interested in, for instance, an extension of the Willamette Greenway Trail, which might require a small bridge, which would require some intrusion into the lake. So we bring forward this very simple amendment, which would add, it wouldn't completely eliminate the preemption. It would just add something that you can do notwithstanding the preemption, which is to support recreational use or public access. It's only those six words, I think, preceded by the word or. So seven words. So to my understanding, and this is just from talking to my staff, the St. John's Neighborhood Association has been supportive of increased recreational access to Smith and Bybee Lakes. There's a Smith and Bybee Wetlands Advisory Committee that also supports these recreational improvements. And so I am not aware of any concerns that this would raise in the community. And certainly I want to make sure that I'm not creating concerns for this underlying legislation in bringing this forward. I know it's late. There's been a lot of sort of back and forth before this came to you. And so I want to, you know, respect the work that's been done on the underlying bill, which has been very deep.
Thank you very much. And for the record, the statement that was just made and the witness before us is?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Randy Tucker. I'm Metro's Legislative Affairs Manager.
Thank you very much, Randy. I appreciate that. Committee members, I want everyone to know that I've had discussions with Mr. Tucker, and he would understand perfectly well should anyone have any reservations about adding this amendment in. I think this is an opportunity perhaps to provide for some recreational enhancement for folks that might not otherwise have those opportunities. I have talked with the Senate, and they, as long as we approve this tonight in an open public hearing and everyone has an opportunity to voice any opposition, if we send it over, they are willing to accept that. Just know that a couple of things going forward, should we choose to do that. One, it will necessitate a conference committee, and I see no problem there. And number two, we're going to have a couple of suspensions of the rules to get this through, not the least of which is we'd have to suspend for the posting of the rules. And the second suspension would be
fiscal.
Yeah, okay, that's right. The paperwork for any potential fiscal has not been completed. So, and we're not anticipating anything earth-shaking here at all in terms of the state's requirements. So, Chair Krieger.
Randy, you talked about the landfill has been closed for 25 years. Do you know when it was opened, started?
I don't. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah, it was just
know.
A matter of fact, my grandfather dumped it back in the 20s.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was fairly full. Mr. Chair, also, if I may, I have not even seen the latest amendment. My understanding originally was that there would be an amendment that included the work that the other group has done. So
that's correct, so. And we have that. That is available.
Right.
So we technically fine. Have your amendment, but I have chosen to do it this way to try and limit any confusion that
fair
people
enough.
Might have to try and keep those separate.
So I can.
Why don't you hold on just for a moment?
Sure.
And we'll see if there are any other questions or comments at this point. With respect to the Dash 8 amendments, I'm not seeing any. Randy, thank you very much.
And appreciate your consideration either way.
Absolutely. Now, And so with that, committee members, I would like for us to, I need to get your sense of whether you want to entertain the Dash 8 amendment at all or not before I recognize. Representative Esquivel.
There wasn't any problem with the people that had the original bill, was there?
No one that I am aware of has expressed any reservations at this point. Is there anyone in the audience who has any problems, would have problems, were we to entertain and then adopt the Dash 8 amendments?
Our only comment was that we didn't want it to slow down the movement of the bill forward.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
all right. I'm not seeing the kind of reservations. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Mary Ann and Representative Boone if you'd come up and identify yourselves for the record. I'm a little reluctant just to have a voice comment from the audience. We are in work session, but you are invited up here to present an answer to that question.
So, Chair Witt, members of the committee, Marianne Nash for the Farm Bureau, our only comment was that we don't want it to slow down the forward progress of the bill, but I understand that the Senate's willing to concur, so we're willing to allow a passenger.
All right, very good. Thank you so much.
Deborah Boone, House District 32, and I agree, and that would be my concern too. I would want smooth passage through the Senate and acceptance by Chad Allen, representing dairy farmers in Tillamook County.
All right. Thank you very, very much. Questions, anyone? Appreciate your comments. Thank you. Is there anyone else at this point that would choose to make a comment whether or not our consideration of the Dash 8 amendment would be problematic at this point? I'm seeing none. Yes.
Chair Witt, just responding to Representative Boone's comment,
yes.
Would a nod from her constituent be appropriate here?
Yes, I think that would be a thumbs up would be appropriate. Yes. Sir, if you want to come forward.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Please identify yourself for the record.
Chad Allen for the record.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with the logistics of passenger bills and these types of things. If there doesn't appear to be any slowdown in this bill and all the hard work that both sides of this particular issue have been putting forward, then I would be in support of it.
Okay.
That would be the only reservations I have. I know that field removal conversations can be somewhat controversial sometimes, regardless mm-hmm. of what purpose they're for. So that would be my only reservation.
But thank you very much. And Chad, if it's of any help to you at all, I think I'd be about the last person on the face of the earth right now that would want to jeopardize this bill. So,
sure.
As the chairman of this committee, so
and I appreciate all your guys' hard work in this process. It's things that are easy aren't worth having, and those things that are hard are worth having. And so this has certainly been a journey, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, and we very much appreciate your very fast and hard work here today, finding an agreement. Vice Chair Krieger?
Who's milking the cows?
We got the hired help for
anything else, committee members? Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Chad. Committee members, are we ready for me to recognize Vice Chair Krieger at this point? I'm seeing nods in the affirmative. With that, Vice Chair Krieger.
Mr. Chair, I move that rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1517A without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact had at this time. Do you want to go ahead and put the other amendment in first?
It would be the Dash. We're suspending for the purpose of the Dash 8 amendments only.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves to that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on the Dash 8 amendment to Senate Bill 1517A without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time. You've heard the motion, committee members. Questions or discussion? The motion at this point then is undebatable. Those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on the Dash 8 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time will say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. The motion carries and the rules have been suspended. Thank you, committee members. One more time, Vice Chair Krieger.
Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on the Dash 8 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A without the amendment having been posted on OLS for 1 hour prior to the work session.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on the Dash 8 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A without the amendment having been posted on OLS for 1 hour prior to the work session. This motion is undebatable, but I would take any questions that folks might have about the process at this point. Seeing none, those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1517A without the amendment having been posted on OLS for 1 hour prior to the work session will say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. Thank you very much, committee members. The motion carries and the rules have been suspended. With that,
just want to change that to 8.
Yep.
Same date. Okay. Vice Chair Krieger.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 8 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A dated February 23rd, 2016.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves to adopt the Dash 8 amendments to Senate Bill 1517A dated February 23rd, 2016. Is there further discussion on his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Thank you, committee members. Now, we're prepared at this point to move the whole bill with both amendments. Everybody okay to this point? Vice Chair Krieger.
Yes. Chair, would I move Senate Bill 1517A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves Senate Bill 1517A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Frederick?
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch?
Excused.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Whitsett?
Excused.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Vice Chair McLean?
Aye.
Chair Witt?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. Thank you, committee members. Representative Boone, would you like to carry this on the floor?
Wait for it.
Yes.
Man. Thank you very much, Representative Boone. I've got two beers tonight now. Thank you. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1517A. Committee members, again, thank you very much. And I recognize that you all have given up an evening here, at least the early part of it, to get this bill through. I can tell you that I didn't sleep well last night, worried about this bill, and all of these fine folks in the audience made it happen here today. Thank you all very, very much. I thank each and every one of you, Senator Whitsett as well, for helping make this this happen, getting the bill passed, and most importantly, folks, most importantly, not leaving anybody behind. That's what makes legislation stick. Thank you all very, very much. We're adjourned. Thank you all very, very much. We're adjourned.